My first guest this morning is Sherry Hooper, the Executive Director of the Food Depot. And coming up in the second half of the program, the Reverends Holly Beaumont and Harry Eberts will be talking about the important social justice issues coming up in this legislative session and what you can do to help. So please stay tuned. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So let's get right to it. We'll talk about the food stuff later, but let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Let's do. I think that's probably a pretty popular topic right now.
We have to make sure that people understand we're not talking about the football Super Bowl. Oh, no, we're talking about one that everyone can participate in here in the Santa Fe area, the S-O-U-P-E-R Super Bowl. Tell us about the event, Sherry.
Well, absolutely. It's actually an event that if you don't like football, you know you like soup.
Right.
You want to come to this event. It is this Saturday. It's actually our 21st year for the event, which is incredible. This Saturday from noon to 2:30, and it's at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. Big shout out, thanks to the City of Santa Fe for providing that space to us. And it's really a lot of fun. We have 29 restaurants this year. You go in, you get a ballot, and you go around and you taste the most fabulous soups, and you place your vote for your favorite soups. We have four categories that the restaurants compete in, savory, cream, vegetarian, and seafood. And then all of the restaurants will compete for the overall best soup.
Yeah, and so as for your ticket price, you get a little small serving of as many as you can handle?
Exactly. You can go back as often as you like if you find one that you really love. But I would caution you that you have 29 soups to taste. And you get about 2 to 3 ounces of soup per restaurant for each tasting. So, you know, those ounces add up quickly.
Now, who came up with this idea? Do you know?
You know, it happened so long ago. I understand the first one was held in the parking lot at what was then Wild Oats, and there were 5 restaurants participating. And it's grown to the point where we're in the convention center now, 29 restaurants. And we're bursting at the seams there.
And how many people typically show up for it?
We usually have between 1,000 and 1,200 guests who
wow.
arrive. We have more than 100 volunteers who help make that event possible. Then, of course, the 29 restaurants who arrive to set up with their staff. So it's quite a large crowd.
Yeah, it sounds like a big party. And so do you actually have a chance to talk with the chefs, or are they just so busy they can't even talk to you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the really nice things about this event is most of the restaurants, the chefs do arrive. They're there, and they're willing to talk to anyone and everyone about their soups, about their restaurant. We also have cookbooks that people can access, and they could even go around and talk to the chefs and get their autograph.
So the cookbooks are cookbooks of soups?
They are. The chefs will provide recipes for soups. They do it each year.
Uh-huh.
So you can actually get a cookbook that has the last, since 2010, recipes from each year. And then once you get the cookbook, it's a 3-ring binder, you can actually add that year's soup to the cookbook.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it isn't necessarily the recipes of the soups that the chefs are providing this year.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes, you know, they just don't come up with that brilliant recipe until the very last minute.
Right. Right. There's a nice story in the New Mexican Today by Tantri Ouija about last year's, telling sort of the story of last year's winner and having its the soup in there and everything. And it does sort of sound like, you know, accidental genius. He just kept throwing things in until it was perfect.
Yeah.
So
make
yeah.
sure you write that down so you remember what you did, right?
Right. Well, and you know, most chefs are so busy that, you know, and asked to participate in so many things here. And I do have to say that the restaurant industry here is amazingly supportive of our many nonprofits because we do have so many and we ask a lot of them. And so, you know, they're really wonderful. Tell us some of the chefs that will be cooking this year.
Well, the restaurants, if I could run through the list, that would be great. It's the Alameda Cafe, mm-hmm. Back Road Pizza. We have Blue Corn Brewery. We have Bon Appetit, which is both at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design and at IAIA. We have Cafe Pasquale's. They're there every year, as is Dinner for Two. This year we have Dr. Fieldgood's Kitchen joining us. El Milagro, New Mexican restaurant, Ginger Bar and Bistro, Joseph's Culinary Pub. We have Kingston residents at Santa Fe, La Plazuela at La Fonda. They're very loyal to the event. We have Loyal Hound for the first time this year. We have Luminaria Restaurant and Patio, The Old House at El Dorado Hotel and Spa, Olivier, Rio Chama Steakhouse, Rooftop Pizzeria. We have Santa Cafe, Terracotta Wine Bistro. Of course, we have Terra Restaurant back to defend their title.
The winners of last year, right.
We have the Bistro at Santa Fe Courtyard by Marriott. We have the Guest House at the Santa Fe Culinary Academy. Pantry Restaurant, Turquoise Trail Bar and Grill at Buffalo Thunder. We have Zia Diner, Sweetwater Harvest Kitchen, and Swiss Bistro and Bakery.
Wow. I'm ready. I'm hungry right
now.
I know.
But my stomach's kind of growling, and I got that little, yeah.
Although, I do have to say, two of them stood out for me. One being Backroads Pizza, which you don't think of a pizzeria. It's a great pizzeria. I love their pizza.
Yeah.
But you don't think of a pizzeria as being a soup maker. So, you know, maybe they're going to make pizza soup. I don't know. I kind of want to see.
You have to come and find out. I know the most amazing creative soups are provided. It is, you just have to show up to find out. You never know what you're going to see.
Now, Sherry, I know you can buy tickets in advance on your website, which is thefooddepot.org. But can you just come and buy at the door?
Absolutely. Okay. You can buy at the door. Okay. You know, you bet. Absolutely.
Yes, and there's no limit. You don't have a limit besides what the fire marshal might put on the building.
And luckily, that's a really big room. So.
And they don't run out of soup, do they?
They normally don't.
Okay, good.
Some of the favorites sometimes will run out.
Uh-huh.
But the nice thing is, too, that if there are any soups left, people can actually get a container from us for a small donation, and they can go and get a
to-go
container of their favorite soup.
Wow.
So take home with them and have that evening or the next day. So, yeah, it's really nice.
I like that idea. Well, I'm planning on getting there at, you know, 12. Maybe I'll get there at 11:45 and be standing at the door when they open.
Well, even earlier. It's surprising people get there so early so that they can get in there at the very first moment that the door is open.
Okay, we'll be camping out the night before at the Santa Fe Convention Center.
Can you imagine? Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Well, the other thing that struck me as interesting is the Kingston Residence, which I believe is a nursing and rehabilitation center, is it not?
It is a senior living.
A senior living center,
yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And, they won one of the categories last year.
Uh-huh.
So they
uh-huh.
have that chef, Tony Quintana, and he's great there, yes.
Gee, I didn't know that. Thank you for keeping us in the know there. So all the proceeds of this go to the Food Depot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And for every dollar that we're able to raise with this event, we can provide four meals to hungry people in northern New Mexico.
And okay, so I just want to say I'm talking with Sherry Hooper, the executive director of the Food Depot, which is the food bank here in Santa Fe that serves northern New Mexico. And I've heard this statistic before, $1 can serve four meals. How can that be possible? I can't figure that out unless I bought a 50-pound bag of rice. You know, how do you make that happen?
We make it happen because so much of our food is donated. So really the cost, the money that we raise helps us to make sure we can access that donated food. That means keeping our refrigerated trucks on the road, going out and picking up from grocery stores and restaurants and bakeries and small food distributors and manufacturers here in Santa Fe. So that's really how we are able to stretch that dollar to provide so much food.
But not all of your food is donated by grocery stores and restaurants, right?
No, we access food from several different levels. At the national level, we're part of the Feeding America Network, which is the national food bank network. That brings food to us from outside the state into New Mexico from large food companies like Kellogg's and Lipton and, you know, those kinds of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have food that they have overproduced or they're just not selling it all on the market, whatever reason, they can donate that into the system, and it goes out to food banks across the country. Then at the state level, we're part of the New Mexico Association of Food Banks. And the association really concentrates on getting food, actually bulk produce, into the food banks. And there are five food banks in the state. And then we have a contract with the Human Services Department of the state to distribute USDA commodities foods.
Uh-huh.
So those are some other ways. We do purchase food from mm-hmm. wholesalers mm-hmm. So that we're always able to provide those staple items that mm-hmm. don't necessarily always come in from donations.
And so, Sherry, the Food Depot doesn't really serve individuals so much as it works through other nonprofits?
That's correct. Food banks traditionally supply food and other related products to organizations like emergency food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters, youth programs, senior centers, daycare centers, but they're all nonprofit food programs. They get their food from us. And currently, the Food Depot is serving 9 counties in northern New Mexico, and we're working with about 145 of those programs.
And so, do you deliver food to them, or do they come to you?
It happens both ways.
Uh-huh.
We have mostly the Santa Fe agencies come directly to our food bank here in Santa Fe on Siler Road. And then we do have a delivery program. So we deliver to agencies in communities like Espanola, Taos, Las Vegas. Then we do have a program called the Mobile Food Pantry Program. And what that does is it allows us to go into smaller communities that really have no resources of their own. These are small communities. They don't have access to food, anything. And we actually have a truck that goes into those communities, and it really provides the food pantry right off of our truck.
Like what kind of towns are we talking about? Like
we're talking about communities like El Rito, uh-huh. for example, Abiquiu. We go to Maxwell, Springer. Mm-hmm. We have about 22 mobile food pantry sites currently that we're using.
Uh-huh. So do you have an estimate of how many people you are providing with food, how many people you're reaching?
Mm-hmm. The agencies we work with, we call them our partner agencies because, quite honestly, there is no way in the world we could do the work we do without them. We're so grateful to those agencies that take food from us and distribute it to people in need. They report to us on a quarterly basis, and they're reporting that they're helping about 70,000 people each quarter.
So the Food Depot is feeding, one way or another, 70,000 people.
Yes.
That's an amazing number of people. Let's talk about how many people in our state are, which applies to northern New Mexico, are suffering from hunger or what's called sometimes food insecurity. Is that still the appropriate buzzword?
Well, it is. You know, we still say people are hungry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the bottom line. People are hungry. But what's used more often than not is food insecurity, which means very simply that people have no idea where their next meal will come from. Now, that's simply put.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at food insecurity numbers. For example, in Santa Fe County, they estimate that about nearly 21,000 people in Santa Fe County alone are food insecure.
And how many, what percentage of those are children?
Well, it's usually about 30% are children.
Wow.
In New Mexico, 1 in 3 children suffer from hunger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very high, and I'm sorry to say that New Mexico ranks at the top when it comes to child poverty and child hunger.
Right. So we are, it sounds weird to say we rank at the top.
Or at the bottom.
At the bottom,
I think.
Yeah, we are one of the states where there is more poverty and more hunger than many other places. You know, we've heard so much about the economy making a comeback, and we're pulling out of the recession and all of that. What are the trends that you are seeing there at the Food Depot?
Well, we're actually not seeing evidence of that, quite honestly. First of all, we're fortunate that people who are able to support the work we do that. So we have good support from this community and from the Northern New Mexico community. We're so grateful for that. But we haven't seen really decreases in the number of people seeking help. In fact, it's just the opposite. When the economy took a downturn in 2008, we saw a jump of about 30% in the number of people who are seeking help, and we've pretty much maintained that. We haven't seen a decrease over those last, 5 years, 4 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if, you know, one of the reports that has been coming out in the past couple of weeks has focused on how, though the economy seems to be making a comeback in the sense that there are more jobs available, that those jobs tend to be lower-paying jobs, and And that also during the recession, so many people dropped out of the workforce altogether. They couldn't find a job, or they maybe found part-time job or something. So they're not showing up in the statistics as even needing jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you might have a four-person household with two parents working full-time and still unable to meet their bills and buy enough food to feed their children.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've seen in New Mexico that job growth hasn't kept up with job growth in the rest of the country. So that's an issue. And one of the issues that we face, too, is that so much of the service area we have is rural. And so jobs simply just aren't available in those rural areas. So that's an issue. But, you know, there are people who are working. And we see that a little over half of the households who are helped have at least one adult working. But you're right. A lot of that is sort of underemployment. They're not making enough to make ends meet. We have working families who tell us that they have this income, and that income goes to first provide rent or mortgage to keep a roof over their family's head. And then they have those other fixed expenses like rent. Well, I said that, but utilities and things like that. Uh-huh. And they have to keep fuel in the car to get to their jobs, those sorts of things. And they said that the most flexible piece of their budget is their food budget.
Right.
And often, once they've paid all those fixed expenses, there is very little left to purchase food.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And one little, you have a wonderful graphic on your website, thefooddepot.org, that gives an example of what a family of four is facing in terms of financial need and, you know, how much the car and gas cost, how much they pay for rent and utilities, you know, how much they pay for medical care, child care, and you know, it adds up to more than the average family of four can earn. And, you know, and the question under the graphic is, what would you eliminate? You know, what would you let go of? Mm-hmm. And so often, one little piece of the pie, when a family is not very financially secure, I know of one family who's lost their car. Their car just broke down and cannot be fixed. And that's the only way the chief breadwinner in that family can get to her job.
Right.
And so that family falls off the ledge, when in fact, they were doing pretty good. They were getting by somehow. And, yeah, so those are the kinds of people that need the resources of the Food Depot. And so we want to see the Super Bowl make more money than ever before. Can you tell me what you guys brought in from the Super Bowl last year?
Well, we raised about $80,000 last year, which was incredible, our biggest year ever. And, you know, the event is great. Not only does it help feed hungry people, but it's, you know, it's fun for the guests. And we have guests that come back every year, and they really have it down. They say, leave your coat in the car. You don't need it. It just gets in the way. You know? And they bring little notepads so they can keep notes of different soups so they can go back and place their vote for the favorite. You know, it's just really fun to watch people. They get into it so much. But it's also really, it's a good community event. As you're standing in line to get your soup, you might see your neighbor or a coworker or someone you haven't seen in 15 years.
Yeah.
And so that's really nice, too.
Yeah, and if you're trying to hide from somebody, that's not the place to go.
Well,
if you're hiding out. Yeah, no, it is. And it's wonderful because it's indoors, you know. And with the weather we've been having lately, it'll be a nice, toasty place to be. And to have soup when it's this cold is just fabulous.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So Sherry Hooper, the executive director of the Food Depot, and I have been talking about the Santa Fe Institution of the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl, which is going to be this Saturday from noon to 2:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Convention Center downtown. You can buy tickets online at thefooddepot.org or call, well, I don't know if they can call, it might jam your phone lines up, 471-1633. Sherry, if people want to, or you can buy a ticket at the door.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to volunteer or somehow help out at the Food Depot, who and how should they get in touch?
I believe that we have the volunteers we need for this event.
I didn't mean for this event. I mean on an ongoing basis.
Oh, yeah. For heaven's sakes, yes. We always need volunteer support. Nate Patras is our volunteer coordinator, and he's at Extension, 15, so that's 471. 1633, extension 15. He will sign you up and put you to work.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with me this morning, Sherry, and I hope that the Super Bowl is a bigger success than it's ever been before.
Thank you so much.